Me and Lawrence, we were having a discussion on Saturday, actually, and Lawrence was sharing a lot about his upbringing earlier on, and I was on totally the opposite scale. I mean, I had very good parents. I had a beautiful home. My parents worked hard. We had lovely holidays. We had great Christmases. And I really thought, as a child, that's how everybody lived. You know, I didn't see that there was another side to the coin. I was very sheltered, I guess. You know, when I went on holiday, I made friends with people that were on holiday. And then I met Lawrence, and, you know, when he shared his life, I was, like, gobsmacked. I couldn't really get my head around that he was raised in a squat, which is like a boarded up house with no electric, no gas, no running water, that his mum was a drug dealer, that he never went to school, he didn't know how to really read or write, and the more he would share his story, I still found it very hard to understand. And so I guess at times that's why me and Lawrence tend to see things on a different level. Whereas me, I'm very hard. You know, I think you should, I come across as if I'm very harsh. I'm not. But I believe that there's a way of doing things, and, you know, like my granddad, I used to play games with him, like cards or chess, and he'd never let me win. Never. Like from the age of about 7 upwards, I can never remember him letting me win. And my nan used to say to him, just let her win. No, don't let her win. You don't get anything in this life unless you try. You don't get anything, nobody's going to give you anything in this life, anyway. Whereas with Lawrence, he would let the kids win. He would, I guess it was a perfect balance between the two, really. And God knew, obviously, what he was doing all those years, well, it was 37 years ago that he brought us together. And, you know, we still have different opinions on things. But we both agree on God's word. You know, there's no ifs or buts about that. But I still feel that, you know, people should be told. And Lawrence says, no, you just love people. And so it's really finding that line. And the reason I'm sharing this is because yesterday I was out and I deliver to elderly people, majority of elderly people. And I take their medication and I check that they're okay, and, you know, I report back anything that I find. But I delivered to one lady yesterday, and I've been going to her for 5 years, and she's usually very sweet, and she really ripped into me. She was very, very nasty, very confronting, very, and I just stood there remembering that I represent this organization, and she basically called me useless, and you know, the useless company I work for, and the useless ladies I work with, and never seen a company so bad in all her life, and I just stood there. So I just said to her, well, you know, you're not beholden to us. You can go wherever you want to go if you're not happy. And she sort of like looked at me and closed the door. And as she was closing the door, I said to her, you know, I'm really sorry. I was about to say, I'm really sorry that you feel this way, but she'd slammed the door by then. So anyway, I turned on my heels and I'm heading for the van, and all of a sudden she opened the door again and she said, I don't care what you've got to say. I just don't want you coming back here anymore. And I got in the van. I didn't reply to her. I just walked off and went to the van. Because I know if I'd said something, I would have really gone to town. But I sat in the van and I said, you know, God, I don't know what's going on here. And then straight away, it was like God was telling me she's having a bad day. And I thought, a bad day? You know, that was like from the pit of hell. The vipers themselves came out, you know, from this 97-year-old lady that, you know, usually is as sweet as I don't know what. Anyway, I got back in to work and I explained the situation. And I said, maybe we should get a urine test or something. Maybe she had an infection because she wasn't her normal self. So I had to go back out today with a urine bottle. And again, I got abused by her, but I finally managed to post the thing through the letterbox and told her that it was on the strength of the GP asking that she did this for him. And, people really don't understand and how their words can really cut you like a knife. And, you know, I really do go all out for these ladies and gentlemen that I visit. You know, that love of God in me just doesn't want to do anything but help and encourage. And so and then it just realized, you know, it came back to what Lawrence said on Saturday, you know, that we just love people. You know, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're saying, we just love people. Because otherwise we allow that to, you know, bother us. It attacks you mentally and spiritually. And then if you hold on to it, it can eat you alive. You know, I didn't let it hold on to me, but, you know, just that people can have off days. People can say things that they don't really mean, that they can, you know, be very vindictive at times. But that God's words are never to hurt someone. You know, they're there for encouragement. They're there for exhortation. They're there for guidance. And that there are ways that we really relate to people and to people's hearts and minds. And that if those heavenly words that God's given you, you give on to others, then you will do nothing but love with that love of God. And you know, there are many, I think there's 3 or 4 different types of love, but the one we're focusing on is agape. You know, that love of God. And sometimes it is in the renewed mind and then put into manifestation. You know, it does say that those that are supposed to be loved the least should be loved the most. Mm. And so, you know, I've really reflected on that today. And, you know, even though she wouldn't open the door and I pushed the sample bottle through her letterbox, you know, I'm really believing when I go back Monday to pick it up that I get that opportunity just to love her with the love of God and not to let her even think that the words that she spoke got to me. That, you know, it was only through that grace of God and again, you know, the wisdom that comes from Lawrence, you know, the way that God works within him, that conversation that we had, you know, as soon as this woman was saying these things, it just really flooded back to my mind what Lawrence was sharing on Saturday, you know, about how we just love people, you know. We don't know what they've been through, we don't know what they're going through, but if we just speak with that love of God, then, you know, we can, you know, really love someone with words. You know, and that we're not everybody had an upbringing like I had. You know, you can't just assume that I know all the answers, because I don't. And so it was a real eye-opener, and it was a real blessing, actually, you know, that, yes, all right, hands up, Lawrence is right sometimes.
No, all the time.
No, he's right sometimes.
All the time.
You know, that when we continue, you know, to do those things that we're being inspired to do, you know, God knows what every one of us needs. And so he'll put people in our paths, like with Lawrence, and he'll work through them to give us those words of encouragement, for those words for us, so that we can stand strong, so that we don't allow that adversary to steal our peace. You know, that we continue to walk with great joy in our hearts, that we are not troubled, that we can be, you know, strong in this day and time, strong in the spirit, and strong mentally, and that we we don't allow the adversary to chip away at our thoughts or our habit patterns. That, you know, God never made a failure, and God says that he made us perfect in his image. You know, so when we're walking in that spirit, we are perfect. We really are. Because God made us that way. So it's always best to stay, you know, walking in that spirit. So how do we do that? Well, we start by speaking in tongues, because if you're speaking in tongues, that's just perfect alignment and harmony with God. Speaking in tongues keys off, as I keep saying, the other eight manifestations. And when we're doing that, we are walking perfectly. You know, we will be doing the things of God, the spiritual things, you know, because it's the spiritual things that cleans out all the rubbish, all the negatives, all the deceitful lies and everything else, you know, which the adversary keeps tapping on our door with. And as we stay strong in that spirit, then we will grow. And when we grow, we will grow in that knowledge of what God has created in us. And that spirit is perfect, that we are mighty ambassadors, that he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that we are perfect, no matter what our past is. You know, look, who else would have put someone like me and Lawrence together? You know?
Not me.
God did. God brought us together. God put us on equal par, even though we're society-wise, we're just miles apart. But in God's eyes, we were perfect. That coming together, the two of us, with my background and his background, we can really help so many people. You know, just because of what we've experienced in our lives. And so God really knows what he's doing, guys, even in your lives right now. Whatever is going on, just know that he never made a failure. No matter what your past is, just remember that God has a magnificent future for you. And even for this lady that said all those horrible words yesterday. And then when I went into work, can you get that little thing on the table for me, please, by my Mother's Day card from Danny? No, on the big table. So, when I went into work today, my work colleagues gave me this. It's so tiny, mine. You can see how tiny it is. So it says on the front, if I put my glasses on, "Thanks for being so amazing." And inside is a tiny, tiny little star, and it says, "You're a star." And, you know, God's timing's perfect, because obviously they got this just last weekend, I think, and that Joe was supposed to bring it in on Monday, and she didn't, she forgot, and so they gave it to me today, and it was just, again, perfect timing, you know, just that I do go all out for these elderly people, and I, you know, I do over and above what my job entails for me to do, and, you know, they just a little reminder like that, "You're a star." Again, you know, God says that we're his stars and that he's placed us in the heavenlies. You know, we're the ones that are shining in this world right now. We're the ones that's bringing deliverance. You know, Jesus Christ done fantastic. But now it's your responsibility. It's Christ in you now. You know, and he's seated in the heavenlies. So it's for us to get out there, to speak that word, to bring deliverance, to bring healing, God's healing, to people's lives, you know, and to show people that there is a master plan, that no matter what you've gone through, God's got something better, you know. And that, Amber, I must say, that testimony from Keely was just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. You know, the fact that she hasn't yet come to fellowship, but that you do your one-on-one with her, that encouragement that you're building in her, and the healings that have gone on in her life, you know, it is a great representation of the way that God works within you to help other people. And that's what it's all about, that we get out there and we help others. I heard on the radio today, I don't know if any of you knew that Paul O'Grady, but, you know, he was a dog lover. He really helped the Battersea Dogs Home, and, you know, but he passed away. And one of these guys was on the radio today. He was homeless, and he was sat on the streets. in Bristol, near Clifton. And this guy came over to him and said, "Oh, how are you today, mate?" And he said he had a bit of a Scouser's accent. And when he looked up, he thought, "Oh, yeah, this is Candy Camera," because he thought it was a Paul O'Grady lookalike. And then he suddenly realised that a lot of people were stood around with their phones taking pictures. And somebody went up and asked for his autograph. And so this guy, you know, really recognised then that it was the actual Paul O'Grady. So he said, "Yeah, I'm not doing too bad." And then he said, "Can I take you for a coffee?" And this guy, homeless guy, he said, "I must have stank." But he sat next to me, he said, and he treated me like I was his best friend. And he asked me about my life. He asked me how long, and he'd been living on the streets for 7 years. And he actually put him up for 3 nights in a hotel in Bristol. And by doing that, he then wrote a letter on his behalf to the housing association, and they managed to get him a place. And Paul O'Grady never ever found out, but that through all that, the guy managed to get a house, and then he could get a job, and he's actually working with the Marines that come back from Afghanistan and places like that, and he's now a counsellor for those.
Wow.
So he said, you know, just one random act of kindness actually changed somebody's life. And so the reason I share that is because every day we can do random acts of kindness with God. And, you know, we never know sometimes the words that we speak, because people may not come to fellowship, or they may not, you may never see them again. But never ever doubt that the words that you speak come back void, because those words are powerful words that we speak, and they can change somebody's life for the better. So, you know, never be afraid to speak, and when God inspires you, you just go at it full pelt, let them have it. And you know, when Christ returns one day, we may find out all the random acts of kindness that we've done in our lifetime. So bless your hearts.